Okay, so the shiur today is v'nes b'soch nes, and it's a term, a phrase which comes up in Chazal. There's like four Gemaras, a few Rashis, and I saw a lot of Mefarshim, Ibn Ezra, Ramban. They use it here and there in other places, but I'm going to try to stick to the Gemaras and the Rashis. And in some sense, you'd say it's v'nes b'soch nes, but I'd say maybe a more better description of what it's about is like there's almost a tension, if you will, and I guess you could say in Chazal's attitude, the Torah's attitude towards Nisan, which on the one hand, you have Chazal, many Rishonim talk about the fact that Hashem tries to minimize miracles. Okay, and I'll cite one or two sources, but I mean, it's prevalent. A number of Rambans about it. There's Joshua Saran, there's Rashbam, Ralbag, others, or Sivra Chinuch. So the idea is that that it seems to be that it's Hashem generally tries to minimize miracles and to do things in line with nature when possible. But then on the same time, there's this concept of nes b'soch nes, which is not clear what it means. It's part of the challenge. So what does it even mean? But it's somehow like a miracle within a miracle, some sort of a multiplicity of miracles or something like that. And I guess my goal is to try to understand what is nes b'soch nes and how does it square away with the general approach of seemingly minimizing miracles. It seems like nes b'soch nes is some sort of moving in the opposite direction. Okay. So I guess just very briefly, I want to talk a little bit, but just to cite two sources about this idea of minimizing miracles. So first of all, there's many sources, but the Ramban and Noah talked about this. It's perhaps well known. I talked about this once in a shiur years ago, but the Ramban is talking about the Mavel and the Teva, and he says, "How could you fit? You can't fit all the animals in one boat. That's as big as the Teva was. There's no way you're going to fit two of each of the animals on the Teva." So he says, "It's a nes." The nes that they all fit. So he says, "Oh, so once it's a nes, then what do you need to make it so big? Once it's a miracle, it's a miracle. So make a small boat and have a miracle." So Ramban says, among other things, and again, it's part of a bigger discussion. I'm just going to take a snippet. He says, So Hashem commanded Noah to do it large in order to minimize the miracle. This is the derech of all miracles in Torah and Nevi'im. Lasos kol asher b'yad adam lasos, that a person should do whatever is possible, and the rest is b'dei shamayim. Right? So there had to be a miracle, but it didn't have to be that big of a miracle. So Noah kid was commanded to make as big as he could possibly build, and the rest of it was a miracle. And we'll see, maybe we'll take a question why that should be. And there might be multiple reasons, but why should that be? Once it's a miracle, it's a miracle. It's a sense of minimizing miracle. Another source is the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Beis 132. It's the mitzvah of lighting a fire on the Mizbeach every day. Okay? Mitzvah to light a fire on the Mizbeach. So he said, Mishorshim Mitzvah, let's read a little bit. Hakdama, Yidua Dover Ben Yerbeitzah Kol Chacham. So it's well known by between us and all Chacham. All the miracles that Hashem does with people are always done in like a hidden way. And it seems like they're done like naturally, mamish, or at least close to nature, right? Even by Kriyas Yamsa, which is this public, most public nes. And he made a wind come all night long and split the sea. So what is that? He's saying that's part of this idea that Hashem was hiding the nes, if you will. Okay, and here's an interesting line. Yavino, and those who have seichel understand. Ki inyan says that the matter of this hiddenness, is because of the maila, the greatness, the level of the master, and the lowliness of the recipient, man. Okay. It's a vague phraseology, but that's his explanation. Hopefully we'll explain that. And then he says, that's why we're commanded to light a fire on the Mizbeach, even though the fire comes from Shemayim to accept the Karbanos. But the reason why it's a mitzvah for us to bring a fire is to hide a miracle. It doesn't seem like a fire comes from the sky, like a fire comes from the sky every time. But then there wouldn't be much hiding. It seems like somehow there's a hashgacha, an eis, that when we light a fire, it always gets consumed well, without any, fire going out or, not quite working out. Our fires often do. But maybe it's just us, but whatever. It seems like it's that there was an Eish Men HaShemayim, but at the same time, that Hashem didn't just make it that you just put it on wood and Hashem's going to make a fire. No, it's a mitzvah for us to make a fire, and then Hashem somehow miraculously makes it work out. Okay, so he says, so it seems, the saying, I guess is what I've said, that it doesn't, the fire which came down wasn't really visible. The reason we said chutz, he has three exceptions. Miyom shmini shel miluim, there the fire came from the sky and that was clear manifest, right? And last week's parsha, 2 weeks ago's parsha, vishel gidon, and also by gidon v'umanoach, and also by manoach, joyce neros nires, right? That was like by Moshe Fisashir about the shimshon. Okay, so again, you see this idea that Hashem is hiding his miracles. And even when he's doing a miracle, he's making it hidden in certain, like by Yom Suf, or in cases where we could be involved in it, we should be involved in it. It seems like miracles are something which Hashem does, but at the same time, minimizing them, hiding them, is supposed to be the idea. And for some reason, the Chinuch saying, "Lahat lemailas ha'adam v'shiflas l'makam." So let's put that aside, this idea in the backdrop. Hopefully you'll understand it a little bit better. But let's go into some examples of this idea, which I mentioned, of Nes B'Selch Nes. Okay, so it comes up. One place which it comes up is based on Rashi by Barad, right? By Barad, this is probably the place we know it, because this is open in the Chumash and Rashi. So it says by the Barad, this is in Taschaf Beis and Shmos, it says Ve'esh Mislakachas B'Soch HaBarad. So now the fire was like flaming or something inside the Barad, the hail. So it says, Rashi says, Nes B'Soch Nes. Ve'esh V'HaBarad Me'urava. The fire and the hail were mixed. V'HaBarad Mayimu, the Barad is water. V'lasas Ritzon Konam Asu Shalom B'Nehem. In order to do the will of their creator, their master, their maker, they made shalom. Shalom, that water and fire don't mix. But this was a nes b'soch nes. Okay, to do the will of the master, they made shalom. Fire and water made peace. So I don't think it's clear exactly what it means, nes b'soch nes, just the phraseology of it, right? If you just read this Rashi, somehow it feels like it's a nes inside of a nes, like referring to the fire inside of the hail. Does it sound that way or not? I don't know. It's not clear what it sounds like. Anyone? What does it sound like to you? Yeah? Okay, good. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, it sounds that way, like a double nes, if you will. There's the basic nes, and then there's a additional dimension to it. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. So good. So that's one example. Okay, so I think we should just take the example. So let's just get this 4 or 5 examples just to get the cases, and we'll try to get a sense of what's But again, this is not a hidden miracle. This is very open. Fire and water mixing together, that's like a massive breach of the laws of nature. And maybe by Yom Suf, the Chinuch is saying, there's also Rashbam was saying like this, that the wind came and somehow Rashbam says it was like Kederach Eretz, that's like Rashbam. Hashem made like Derech Eretz. She'iruach miyaveish makriach sahara. So wind does that. So it seems like he was trying to make that somehow appear natural. But I mean, fire and water don't mix. That doesn't appear natural at all. Yeah.
I just want to go back to the Keva. Is for a second.
So that's the first example of the next. Okay. So then the next one is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. So it's talking about when Aaron threw down his stick and it changed into a snake. And then, sure enough, the Chartumim did the same thing, right? They threw down their sticks and it also turned into a snake. And then the Pasuk says, Vayivla mate Aharon es matosa. So the stick of Aaron swallowed up their sticks, right? So Rashi picks up, or the Gemara picks up on the fact, and Rashi also, that it doesn't say Vayivla Tanim Aharon es taninehem, something like the snake of Aharon swallowed up their snakes. It says Vayivla mate Aharon. Well, it wasn't a mata, it turned into a snake, and the snake ate it. So Rashi on the Pasuk says, after it became a stick, Balan, it swallowed them up. The Lokeshihutana, and not when it was a snake. The Loksiv, Aaron, doesn't say the snake of Aaron swallowed up. So Aaron threw down his stick, turned into a snake. They threw down their sticks, turned into snakes. Then Aaron's snake turned back into a stick. Vague whether theirs also turned back into sticks also, because it says matosam. So I don't know if they, maybe theirs also turned into snakes. No one's explicit about that. But basically, Aaron's snake turned back into a stick and swallowed up the Mitzri's. Thanks. Okay. I think yeah. Okay. Good. So Rashi doesn't say, but the Gemara on Shabbos says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar nes b'self nes." Okay, it was a miracle within a miracle. Hard to imagine the scene, right? That doesn't quite seem right. But stick eating up a stick or a snake, right? Seems like, again, totally against this idea of minimizing miracles, right? Hard to see how the Mitzvah didn't, didn't accept that, right? Yeah, okay, so that's our next example. Okay? So that's the first Gemara. The one about the Tav Dabar, it isn't a Gemara. It's a Medrash, but it's not in the Gemara. So there's four Gemaras. Okay, so then it says, so again, totally not in the line of minimizing miracles, right? Hiding miracles, minimizing miracles. If you take it literally, I mean, if you take it literally, I think I'm taking it literally, but if you don't take it literally, then what does it mean, right? It sounds like it's literal, but whatever. I guess either way you go, it's hard to understand. If it's not literal, then it was, then it's not an issue of next. Just whatever, it's just an ace, but okay. So next Gemara is Gemara Kulin Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So Rahuna Bar Tarsa says, one time I went to this place called Vad. And Vad Rashi says is a place of Rashayim and people who are Marbiei Kalayim. They would be interbreeding animals. This was their thing. Okay? So he went to Vad and he saw a Nachash Karuch Al Hatzav. So there was like a snake wrapped around a lizard. Some sort of they're breeding them or they were whatever. That's what he saw. He saw a snake wrapped around the lizard. He says, after days, a arvad, some sort of a poisonous snake, came out from them. And this arvad is like this Gemara of Rechinin Mendoza. This arvad was going and biting people, killing people, like a poisonous, some sort of miraculous poisonous snake was emerged from this illicit union. Okay, so when he says, Rabbeinu Bar Tosa says, when I came before Shimon HaChassid, he said to me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the following, Hei mevi b'riyah shelo, they brought a creature which I didn't create in my world, af ani avi aleihem b'riyah shelo v'rasi. I'll bring them a creature. They want a new species, I'll show them a new species. And namely, this poisonous snake, which killed them. Okay, so the Gemara asks, but we know that in order for two species to be able to have offspring, they have to have tashmish the same way, and they have to have the same gestation period. And she says the snake's gestation period is like 7 years, and other ones are, other shratzim are like 6 months. So there's no way that a snake and a lizard, all right, a tzav, are going to be able to have kids. How could that possibly be? So the Gemara answers, Amarav Nes B'Self Nes. So it was a miracle within a miracle. So Mara says, Hai Paranusahu. What do you mean? And the miracle and the miracle, this is a punishment. Somehow the Gemara thinks that those don't work together. The Gemara says, My nes b'self nes lo piranhas. Yeah, okay. So what? So nes b'self nes piranhas. Okay, that's ending one. Okay, so Rashi says nes b'self nes piranhas k'dei li para min harashan, in order to punish, pay back, punish these rishon. Okay, so again, there's another story, another clue, I guess, to figure out what nes b'self nes is. And there's some sort of a question, I guess, why did the Gemara think that it didn't make sense to have an ace of nace for a punishment? And then it says it does. Right? It wasn't a very, elaborate back and forth. It just said, how could that be? So, oh, it is. Right.
What were the two nieces about second?
So I guess, Dave.
One of the novices is they were at West Bank.
Well, I guess one is that. Oh, that it killed them.
That's, yeah. I mean, if it's New Bria, you don't know the characteristics of New Bria. Not the whole idea.
Well, either
it ate the
the
Rishon. It ate and punished the Rishon.
your parents couldn't kill, and the end of the had the power to kill.
Yeah, something like that. It was punishing them. I mean, it was a punishment. It was an ace that it was punishing them. But he could have punished them with, I don't know, a regular snake. But instead, it was like a miraculous snake, which then went and punished them.
Good sign-up.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, I made the whole town as Roshan. Not
I don't
clear.
know if that's part of the news.
I don't know. I don't know. Since, the Mashkas is Nitin Rishas. It doesn't say that, it doesn't say in the story that it was specifically targeting Roshan. But, but whatever. It's targeting, it's a Rishas town. It's,
You say that's
Yeah. Okay. Therefore what?
so it's not.
Yeah, but okay, maybe. Maybe you can say an answer.
Don't
What?
offspring to the offspring was poisonous.
Yeah,
Should come from
right.
it.
Yeah.
Should be one or the other. Or
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good. Okay. Another one is this is a Rashi and Psachim. It's based on a Mechilta, but the two which are very similar. But basically, there's it's talking about by Maror, different types of Maror. So one of them is Hirduf, and I didn't look into much what it is, but Hirduf. So Rashi says on the Rashi on the Gemara that is Lamentas Moshe as Neymar. So it's the tree with which Moshe sweetened up the water by Mara. The Amrina Nes in the Mechilta Nes b'self Nes Shehu HaYamar. So it was Meir Hirduf was a Mara type of a thing, and it took this a bitter herb and it sweetened up the bitter water. So that's Nes b'self Nes, and the Ramban explains. I mean, the Ramban has the pshat that it was natural. There's some natural property, but he quotes the Chazal that says that it was Nes b'self Nes. So it says the Nes b'self Nes is similar to the water that Elisha made unsalty. So that's another one. That's another example, which that's there was the people of this town came to Elisha and they said, our water is salty, bad water, and it's causing miscarriages. So he said, Elisha said, bring me like a dish and put salt in it. And he went to the source of the water and he put the salt there. And he says, "Ko amar Hashem, Rafisi l'mayim ha'ila." Hashem said, "This water is healed. V'lo yem misham od maves mishakel." It's not any more death and bereavement. And sure enough, yerfor amayim ad hayom hazeh kedvar Elisha asher diber, so healed the water. So Ramban's saying it's a similar idea that that well, I guess we're saying salt doesn't make water unsalty, salt would make it more salty. So it's like it's healing the water through like this opposite thing. Similarly here, it's bitter water, and you're healing bitter water with a bitter tree, right? It would be one thing if you gave him a sweet tree, but you gave him a bitter tree. So that's what he says, Ramban says, Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. I think it says, the Eitz wasn't there. And Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Horehu Es Mekomo, Oshem Tziwei Lavenes. So first, that's the first thing, is that Hashem showed him the tree. The tree wasn't naturally there, or he couldn't find it. So that was like the first Nes was that Hashem gave him the tree. And I guess the other one was that it healed all that the mar, mar, right? Right, because that's not in the pasuk that the tree was better. That's what the Chazal are saying, that it was a bitter tree that Hashem, so I guess the first thing is Hashem showed him this tree, which wasn't really around, and secondly, that the tree was bitter and it healed the bitter water. Oh, if it's a very sweet tree, it does. I don't know. You could say that, but the Ramban doesn't know that. The Ramban's saying it's because that is in Tzio, the fact that he showed him. But either way, say that. The fact that you could heal water through that, I don't know, I'm not sure. You have something which is better, and then you make something sweet. It's like it's some sort of reaction or, you know, offsets it. I don't know how these things work, but I've tried it. I don't know, you know. Something, yeah. Okay. Whatever. Okay, and then one
Rabbi Feder?
Yeah.
Is this Rabban's second?
So one more here is the Sumara, and also by Elisha. So right after that Elisha story, where he sweetened up the water, so then right after he sweetened up the water, it says he went to Beisel, and he was going on the road, and Arim Katanu, by the way, this is in Malachim Beis, Parak Beis, Sukkim Yud Tastru Chavdalet. So he says there were Na'arim Ketanim who came out of the city and they cursed him. And they said to him, Ale Kereach, Ale Kereach. Go out of here, Baldi, go out of here, Baldi. Or whatever, get out of here. Right? And Rashi says that these guys, these Na'arim, I don't know if they say they're not like little kids, but whatever, young men. So they were people whose job it was to schlep the water to, yes, the water in this town was better. So they had a business of getting water from far away, and they made money on supplying water to this town. So now that Elisha healed the water, and now they're out of business. So they're basically saying, get out of here. That's what Rashi says. So they know they didn't like him. And they say, Kereach, because, yeah, we'll get to that. So then it says, Vayifen achra vayarim, and he turned after them, and he saw them. Vayikalim b'shem Hashem. He cursed them with the shame Hashem. But they sent a shtayim dubim in hayar, but kana mehem arba'im v'shnei ladim. So basically two bears came out of the forest and they killed these kids, tore them up or whatever. So basically killed these young men. Okay? So the Gemara and Sota, Mem, Zayin, and Aleph, on this story with these bears, so it's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. One of them says it was an ace, and the other one says it was an ace b'self nice. Okay? So, machlokas. So what's the machlokas? So the one who says it was an ace says there was a forest there, but there was no bears. Okay, there was already a forest, but there were no bears. So the ace was that bears came, and emerged from the forest. And the one who says it was nace, b'self nace, there was no forest and there were no bears. Okay? So first he made a forest and then he made bears. Okay? So the Gemara asks, was probably bothering you. It says, so just make bears without a forest. Who needs the forest? Just make bears. Right? Rashi, my Ava, Gemara says, lehebe duvim, below lehebe yar. My Ovid Layar, the Karis Lanes. What does Layar even do that's called an ace? It's made a forest and made bears, who cares? Right? Make dogs and make bears, but the dogs don't do anything. So what is the forest? Who needs the forest? It doesn't even do anything. That's an ace. So the Mara says, Divisi, because they're afraid. Rashi, Aduvim Lizgaros by Shane Makam Karov Lanos, Lis Chabos by him. Lis Chabos. So when bears are going to be afraid to come out and attack, if they don't have somewhere nearby that they can go and hide. Good to know. So Shehen Krovim Liyar Yotzim Ba'avtacha. And when they're close to a forest, then they'll come out. They'll be comfortable coming out of the forest. So therefore, Hashem made a forest. And now the bears are like, now we can come out. So then they went out. You'd think it would be easier or more efficient to just make the bears have the nature that they could come and attack without a forest, right? To make a whole forest seems like a little bit much. Yeah, right. Have lions, you don't need forests. Yeah, it's true. Or they could just have a heart attack, right? Or whatever. There's a lot of ways, right? Yeah. So it's interesting, machlokas. Is it an ace or is it an ace or something? You know, yeah.
Why aren't you feeling really great? Bears being attacked, at least.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's a good question. Are these only two or there? I don't know. Good question.
I was going to ask also, like, all the other things time to distinguish between
I know.
The Jews and the Mitzvah.
Right, are those also? I know. I know. That's a good question. That's a question which is bothersome. It bothered me. I'm not learning it, and it's probably going to bother you after you hear this whole share. But I don't think I'm really going to answer it a little bit. But it's like nowhere that I saw does anyone have an exhaustive list. Here's the six Nes Pesach Nes. And there's no other Nes Pesach Nes in the world. It doesn't seem like there's no list like that. And I don't think that there's an exhaustive list. These are Chazals on particular stories saying, oh, this was a Nes Pesach Nes. But like there might be other stories which are Nes Pesach Nes, but maybe it's obvious. Like it's open in the Pesachim that Behifla Hashem or whatever. So maybe it is a Nes Pesach Nes. Like in these cases, the Chazal are pointing out that it's an Nes Pesach Nes, but you may not have otherwise known that. Like by the case of the bears, you wouldn't have known that it's an Nes Pesach Nes. Case of the stick, the snake eating the stick, you don't know that it's an Nes Pesach Nes. Or the water, it'd be swinging up the water. It doesn't say that. So these are like Chazal are telling you that this Nes Pesach Nes in cases where you may not have realized that it's an Nes Pesach Nes. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there is no, that there, this lost, this list is exhaustive. There's no list. And maybe in Echonami, the mind goes on Nes Pesach Nes. You know, we have to see what Nes Pesach Nes is. But my point is that I think we have to understand what Nes Pesach Nes is using these cases, but I don't think it's fair to say our definition of Nes Pesach Nes isn't going to work, because if so, then something else would have also been a Nes Pesach Nes, you know? If there were an exhaustive list, it said there's Shisha Nes Pesach Nes. I don't know, maybe you could say that's like an exhaustive list. But yeah, even if you did that, then Gemara's always do ton of a Shir, you know? Like, even exhaustive lists aren't quite exhaustive, but it doesn't do that. It's, you know, they're never really put together. Okay. So these are, so again, it doesn't sound like Hashem's minimizing a miracle. Like making a forest and then making a bear. Or all, you know, all these things. I mean, these cases seem to be somewhat unnecessary, right? Going against the trend of minimizing it. Yeah.
I don't really understand the last thing. So all the other examples, it seems like one case is kind of complicated than the other. That case seems like the first is just completely done and over. And then the second new thing that sticks while the other is just.
Well, the way I see it is that Aaron's, the plain shot of the pasuk is like Aaron's, I think the plain shot, you know, is that Aaron's snake, you know, the plain reading of the pasuk, I just say, is that Aaron's snake ate their snakes, right? And that would have been, yeah, turned into a snake, and then Aaron's snakes ate their snakes. And that would have been an ace, because why is Aaron's snakes feeding out the Mitzvah snakes? Well, that's Hashem kind of helping other Jews or Aaron beat out the Mitzvah. But then it became a Nes Pesach Nes, is that that didn't just happen through the snake eating the snake, but it turned into a stick, and then the stick ate whatever. You know what I mean? Not, I said, you're saying the turning into the snake, your question is based on the first Nes was that it turned into a snake. Yeah, so I'm not learning that. I'm learning now. The fact that there's a snake, that's history. But now you got snake face off. If it would have just, Aaron would have ate their snakes, then that would have been one nace. But the fact that it turned into a stick and then ate them is the nace itself. Mm-hmm. That's the way I'm learning. It's not clear, but that's the way I'm learning. Okay. Yeah, Devin.
Two questions.
Yeah.
One, is it or is it not?
Yeah, good question. This Gemara by the case in Chulin with the interbreeding, seemed the Gemara had a problem with saying Yosef Nes for Piranus, and it answered, and it's okay. But the Gemara by Elisha and Sota didn't have a problem with that. So it could be they already learned Kulin, you know, and it's out of order, whatever. But maybe in a Konami, you know, it'll get resolved it, so it's fine. But, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say that the more there's no problem there. I don't know. Well, it didn't raise it. Didn't raise it. Look, if the Gemara rejected it, then you'd have a problem. But it was a Havamina, and the Gemara quickly dispensed with a Havamina. So I don't know, maybe, whatever. It didn't bother whoever was in that Gemara, you know? Yeah, okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. The question is, what's the significance? What is Neis P'sok Neis? And as David's asking, what's the significance of Neis P'sok Neis? Because he's a Machlokas, Elisha, was it a Neis or was it Neis P'sok Neis? Apparently there's a difference. Is it just a trivial thing? By the way, we're just counting on Nisim, we want to know. Seems like the fact that you have Machlokas, at least, that there's something, some difference. So what is the significance of an Neis P'sok Neis? Yeah, excellent. Good question. I like that. Yeah. Who cares? Who cares? What's the point of all these things? You know, just counting on Nisim? What's the value of the whole endeavor? Ibn Ezra, who tainas that, I think it's Makas Bechoros, it's Neis P'sok Neis. You know, the Neis that the Mitzri Bechor died, and it's the Neis that the Jews didn't. So it's like it comes up in various places. If you search, like the various Rishonim, Achronim use it in a lot, other places that aren't quite in Chazal or that I could buy. So again, I'm not claiming this is exhaustive, and I'm not claiming that everyone necessarily uses it the exact same way. I don't know. It was like, I wasn't sure what, you know, I just kind of went with the Gemaras, and then I just went Rashi's on Gemaras. So basically, I limited my sources to. It's not a million cases, but it's not quite these aren't quite the only cases. Okay, that's interesting. By Shlin Rashi says Nisim Harbe, many Nisim. It seems like that's not quite the same thing as Nisim Sof Nes. But yeah, maybe we'll be able to explain what the difference was. So what I'd like to do first, is to try to explain Achinah. Okay, the chinuch, or the idea of Hashem minimizing miracles. Okay, get some idea of that, and then because it does seem like there are kind of these opposite trends, if you will. There seems to be a trend of minimizing miracles, and on the other hand, another trend of maximizing miracles or doubling miracles. Right. So, and that's honestly there are really two ideas, and certain cases call for one and others for other. So what's this idea? Let's start with the idea of minimizing miracles, right? So specifically again, there might be other ways to understand. So one way I think to understand this, and I had this idea years ago, I don't remember. Lisa mentioned to me, maybe the Rambam and says it somewhere. He said maybe it's in Maimon Tzvi Mesim. I don't know. But the idea being that, you know, this is an old idea you probably all heard, maybe from Rabbi, who knows, but is that Hashem, so to speak, loves his laws of nature. The Chachmas Hashem is manifest in his great laws, and they're the laws by which he governs the world, and he set up like the most perfect laws possible to run the universe. And a nace is like, in a certain sense, like a harasha, if you will, like a temporary suspension of those laws for a certain purpose. But it's like Hashem wants to preserve the laws as best as possible, because those are the perfect laws. So he suspends it for as short as possible and as little as possible. And it's like, insofar as a nace is a breach in the chachma of the Bria, so there's the attempts to minimize that, and to cling to the natural law as best as possible. It's just like it's only going to do it for as short a time as possible. It's going to be as natural as possible, is more in line with the Chacham of the Bria. And it's true, it might be necessary to make the sea split in order to save the Metzron. But at the same time, you don't have to do it in a totally miraculous way. You could do it utilizing the force of nature in some form or other, right? It's reminiscent a little bit like the Rambam says, So that's fine. So that's one idea. But I don't think that's what the Sefer Chinuch is saying. Because he says that it's v'amaskilim yavinu ki'inyan seisos el ma'ilas ha'adon v'shiflas ha'makabel. Because that's something to do with man. With the greatness of the master and the lowness of the recipient. Right? If you're just saying Hashem wants the laws to be intact, what does that have to do with the recipient? When the recipient, they just, that's just the way he wants the laws to breach the laws as slow as possible. Right? So sigma maybe means like this, is that man is small. Right? Man is small, is low, like Manushkis's grana, that type of thing. And it's important for man to appreciate his place in the universe. And when he experiences an ace, that experience could, in a certain sense, corrupt the person. And it could corrupt him insofar as it make him think that, look, God is serving me. He's breaking, he has his laws, his great laws of nature, but he's, you know, bending over backwards, so to speak, in order to satisfy me, right? To cater to my personal needs. Be like a king who come out of his palace and comes and serves and gives food to some guy or something. It'd be beneath the dignity of the king, and it would elevate the ego of the recipient to feel as if the king is there to serve him. So the idea is like that there's a part of a person which feels that Hashem is there to serve him, like he's his big daddy in heaven type of thing, that he's there, that God is there just to serve him, to take care of his own personal needs. And insofar as Hashem miraculously intervenes in order to save man, in order to help man, in order to whatever, that caters to the emotional sense or feeling that God is there for him. And that the proper philosophical attitude should really be one of Manashki Saskrana, that man is but small, and we don't deserve the whole idea of God changing his laws, intervening for us, is something which is surprising to us and should not be something which is natural and feels, you know, reasonable to us. That's on the contrary. And to do it, it's like we're really low and Hashem is high. And the nes itself kind of conveys or could convey an opposite sense. On the other hand, Hashem does chesed for man. And Hashem does miracles. Right? And Hashem does, it's kind of like in Manush Kisen, on the one hand, but on the other hand, and Hashem does intervene in the natural. There, but that's chesed. You have to recognize, it's like we don't deserve Nisim. It's a chesed Hashem that he intervenes with his natural law for the sake of to help man, be able to assist man of being able to live for Klai Yisrael to continue to exist, or whatever reason it is that Hashem does the miracle, he breaks his laws. But, and there is a proper way to relate to that, which is a person could say, wow, that's unbelievable. There's shavach. It's unbelievable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed for man, and it doesn't have to result in lowering God's kavod. On the contrary, it could lead for a person to have a great appreciation of the chesed Hashem. But I think the difference is like there's an emotional way to relate to the nes. And I guess you could say an intellectual way to learn to the next. Emotionally, it feels like God is serving you. But intellectually, you could, if you get past that, you could not think of it that way, but you could appreciate the chesed Hashem and give shabbat. And it could be that the way to, I guess, lead man to relate to it properly and not relating to it improperly is to hide the nes. Okay? Hiding the nes does is that it doesn't look like a miracle. Emotionally, it doesn't appear like it. It's like it has the ostensible appearances of like it's in line with a natural law. And therefore, like your emotions don't, if emotions would see a miracle, that which is openly manifestly a miracle, it would. That would cater to your emotional sense that God is serving. It looks like God is serving. But here, the way you could discern that it's a nes is through yechah. It's through looking closely and seeing the fact that I know that there's a wind, but wind doesn't actually make sea split, and the timing, and, you know, it's like if you look carefully, or for example, like Ramban talks about it at the end of Chukosai, he says like all of when we're doing the mitzvot, then the Klaisor will receive all the brachos, and we're not gonna, no one's going to get sick, and there's not going to be any miscarriages, things like that. He says, well, there's no open miracle in that, but then no one gets sick. But the probabilities are, I don't think these were probabilities, but it's clear to a person who looks at it that if a whole country, no one's getting sick, that's obviously a miracle. But that's not something which emotionally appeals to the miraculous, because there's nothing amazing, shocking, which is happening. But if you analyze the thing with your mind, you think into it, you realize that's ridiculous. There's no way that can happen by nature. But that's already using your mind. So I'm saying is like the hidden miracle is something which to the senses doesn't look miraculous, but to the mind, an analysis reveals its miraculous nature. And that's by doing an ace in that way, your emotions aren't going to jump on it and relate to it and say, ah, God loves me. God's doing it for me. God's all about, God's there to serve me. Because your emotions, that emotional part of you, which is looking for that, isn't moved by it because it doesn't look miraculous. So it doesn't hit you in an emotional way. The only way you see the miracle is through your chachma. But once you're seeing it through your chachma, you can relate to it in a mature way. And to think of it, it doesn't mean I'm the greatest. It means Chesed Hashem, that he's helping Klal Yisrael. He's helping bring about his Kiddush Hashem in the world. You with me? So what I'm saying is like, Lamailas on the Shifl's Makabel is that the Bikot preserve that sense, that feeling that we should have. We should have a sense of Lamailas Adlan Shifl's Makabel, and an open miracle will counteract that, will push man in the opposite direction and will cause him to feel lower God in his eyes and raise up man in his eyes. And by hiding it, it prevents that. I guess that offsets that that negative consequence of it. Yeah. Yes. That's true. Yeah, the Rav Chinuch is describing, is right, that it's done in a hidden way. So it looks like it's totally natural or close to it, like it's, you know, maybe extreme. But, yeah, right. Yeah, somewhat, right? I think it means it's like maybe it's pushing the laws a little bit, but it's still within. Like a Yamsuf, it's like the wind is blowing and it's too much, but at least there is like a natural thing, as opposed to just being totally that wind, just all of a sudden the sea would stand up for us, you know? But you're right, it would be the minimizing, something which is clearly a miracle, it just minimized, like the boat, fitting, right, like Noah's case, you mean. Fitting all the animals on one boat.
Each animal is falling in
a bit. Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe something like that, right? If you look around the whole boat, yeah, right. That kind of, right. As opposed to if you got a little boat the size of this table and all the little animals there, it's like, right, you see the miracle in front of your eyes. Right there, you have to, it's so big that it could be, it's, you have to discern the miraculous nature of it. Yeah, maybe.
And also,
yeah.
Also, I guess it's an obvious point.
Normally, there's various answers of why Hashem minimizes miracles, and I'm not. I don't think I'm exhausting it. I think I'm just trying to give an interpretation of what the Sefer Chinuch means, and you know, but there's arguably a lot of reasons. Yes, Joe was mentioning, like, this all presumes that the person is going to be able to notice it. Right? If you do it in a way that they're not gonna notice it, then it might matter. Let's hold off. Hold off. Yeah. I'm saying at the highest level is the person to do the miracle in this way will allow a chacham to see the nace and relate to it properly, but not cater to that sense that if people have just saying God's there to serve me. Right. But what would happen if people aren't at a level? Well, let's see. So I'd like to turn now to nace, Pesach, nace, but I think there's one Gemara I didn't tell you about. I think it's really a clue. Okay. Like the source that really helps out with understanding it. Okay. So I held out on you. So here's the Gemara. It's the longest one also. So it's the Gemara in Arvit Tzafem. Kuf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. Okay? Kuf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. So it says like this. It's talking about the Pasuk, Emes Hashem La'olam. Okay? And Allah. Emes Hashem La'olam Haluka. Who said Emes Hashem La'olam? Hashem is always true. So Gemara says, Gabriel said it. Different interpretations who said it. Whatever. But it says Gabriel said it. Gabriel the Malach. So it says, because at the time that that Nimrod HaRasha threw Avraham Avinu into Kibshan Ha'esh, so Gabriel said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Rabbono Shel Olam, should I go down and cool down the fire and I'll save this tzaddik Avram from the Kibshan Ha'esh? So Hashem said to him, no. Ani yachid ba'olami, v'hu yachid ba'olama. I'm a yachid in my world and Avram is a yachid in his world. No el yachid lahatzel se yachid. It's appropriate for a yachid to save a yachid. Okay? Okay. Whatever that means, right? But since Hashem doesn't withhold the reward from any creature, Amar tis give a tatzil shlosha ibn Eban. So you'll be zocha, you Gabriel will be zocha to save three of the children of Avraham. So Shimon Hashiloni says the time of Nebuchadnezzar was throwing into the Kibshan Ha'esh, right? So he had the decree that everyone had to bow down to this big statue that he made. And Chanan Mishael Azariah were, you know, in the government, they refused to do it. And so the other things that he says, well, you got to throw them into the fire. So they had a fire. And he basically made the fire seven times as hot. Super duper hot. Seven times hotter than normal. And they would throw them into the fire. So at the time that this was happening, so Amad Yorkamu Sar Habar Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yorkamu, the Sar Habarad, so the officer of, the heavenly officer of hail, okay? It's not so popular, but he's one of the Malachim. So he said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Rabbono Shalom, Eirid Bat Sinai Sekibshan, Be'atzol Tzadikim Halom Ekibshan Eish. So should I go and pull down the furnace in order to save the Tzadikim from the Kibshan Eish? So Omar lo Gavriel, so Gabriel said to Yorkamo, no, in Gvuraso Shakarish Baruch Hu B'kach. That's not going to be the Gvuraso Shal. Sha'ata Sar Barad, because you're the officer of Barad, V'akal Yodim Shamayim V'chabed Asayish, and everyone knows that water puts out fire, right? Elani Sar Shalesh, I'm the officer of fire. Eired V'akarar mi Bifnim V'akdiach mi Bachutz. So I'm going to go and I'm going to cool down the inside of the fire and I'm going to heat up the outside of the fire, like redistribute the heat of the fire, and I'll make a nes b'soch nes. Right? And Rashi says, to the pasuk there says that the people who went to throw them in, they got like kind of close and the spark came out and it lit them and they got burned. So it was so hot on the outside. The fire got, you know, like the heat became somehow redistributed that the people who were on the outside got burned. And then, sure enough, Chanan Mishael Azariah somehow got past the border and ended up on the inside. And they were walking around. And this is in Nebuchadnezzar. They all saw there were four people walking around inside the fire. I think they had three, and presumably Gabriel was the fourth one. Right? I think Rashi says something like that. Yeah, he was there also. Right, so then Nebuchadnezzar saw this thing, and I'll read the second what he said in a second. So let me finish the Gemara. So that's what Gabriel said. So let me go down and I'll redistribute the heat of the fire, and I'll do a nice self nice. So Omar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, go down, good idea. You go do that. So Ba'usa Shah Pasal Gabriel Ba'amar Ba'emes Hashem La'olam. So Gabriel says, oh, Hashem is true. Hashem's fulfilled His promise. And Hashem said, at the time of Avram Binu, when he wanted to do it, Hashem says, no, I'm going to do it this time, but you're going to do it in the future. So sure enough, now that it happened, so Gabriel said, Amos Hashem Lolam. Hashem fulfilled his truth, his word. Okay. So, yeah. So the story, by the way, so what happened was when, after this happened, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, I'm reading the English. So there's the Aramaic is. Right. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, this is what happened after when he saw that they walked out of the fire unharmed, unscathed. They didn't smell like smoke. They were totally nothing, you know? So it said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their governor name, whatever, the governmental name, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, have changed the king's word and have given their bodies, that they may not serve or bow to any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces and their houses shall be made into a dunghill. Because there's no other God that is able to deliver in this matter. Then the king promoted them in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar then said to all the people, peace be unto you. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders that God Most High has wrought to me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. This is Nebuchadnezzar's reaction to the story. Okay? Fine. So basically, you have here, again, you have this nature of self-nace, but you have like a Havamina Maskana. So like the Havamina, I guess, was Yorkmu's idea, was just to do a regular nace, right? Which would have been a hail. Would have rained, a hail, I don't know. Perfect timing. Hail would put out the fire, and they wouldn't be able to burn Chana Mishav Azariah, right? But Gavriel said, no. In Gurasa Shalakadosh Baruch Hu B'kach. That's not the Gurasa Shal. Because you're of a Sarbar, and everyone knows that water puts out fire. Right? But rather, I'm the Sar of Esh, and I'm going to do this, you know, this crazy redistributing the heat of the fire, and that type of fire. And that will show the Gurasa Shal. Right? So maybe it means, again, so the nace itself, what's the nace here? The nace is to save the tzaddikim, right? The tzaddikim are going to be killed for giving their lives for L'Shem Hashem. They're refusing to bow down to this idol, Kiddush Hashem, and they're going to get killed for it. So Hashem is going to do a nace to save them. And in line with this idea of minimizing miracles, that would occur through a natural method, like what Yerkamo had in mind. Make it rain, right? Make it rain. And, you know, I guess someone who appreciates the timing, a chacham would look into it and says, wow, what are the odds that it happened to Avail exactly at the moment when he's throwing Chana Mishav Azariah into the Kiddush HaNeis, right? But, as Gabriel says, Ein Gvur Sokol Shagol Shrach. Because you're the Sarbar, never knows that's the way fire, or that's the way hail works. So it seems like at this time, that was Gabriel's argument, that would not cut it. Okay? So why not? So the question, I guess, is whenever you have a nace, you always have to ask, like, what is the purpose of the nace? Why is Hashem doing the nace? After all, he has... There's a Rambam who talks about this, like by Ruach HaKodesh. He says, Ruach HaKodesh is where someone has some sort of special insight or whatever, or some sort of assistance, but it's always for some lofty purpose or objective. Like Yosef was successful in the house of the ministry, but it ended up leading to an ultimate goal of making him having a high position in Mitzrayim, which ended up leading to saving the Jews. So like when Hashem does a miracle, there has to be a purpose. What's the purpose of the miracle? So you could imagine the primary purpose of this miracle, presumably, is to save Hanan and Mishael Azariah, or Tzadikim. But, and that's arguably true, but it seems like Gabriel's point here is that there's another purpose, which is, as you see what happened, which is the Gvura Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the world, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say there's no God like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like for the sake of man seeing the nes, the sake of mankind or lowly mankind to recognize the Ad Hashem. So if you only wanted to save Hanan Mishael Azariah, if that was the only objective, then Yerkamo would have been right. That would have been sufficient. If they would have been saved, then I don't know what would have happened tomorrow. I don't know who knows exactly what would happen. But it seems like here the nace was that, again, that objective could happen in a hidden method. But But the objective of man, mankind, Rasha'im, people at large, seeing Hashem, can't happen through a hidden miracle. Hidden miracles work, as you were saying, they work for low, for high level people, for chachamim who are going to discern, who are going to think, you're going to put two and two together, and they're going to realize what's going on. But for people like Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom and others like that, it's you need it to be open and manifest. If it's not going to be open and manifest, no one's going to see the Gvuras Hashem. They're just going to chalk it up to natural law. And again, I don't know the greater picture of why that was important, but it seems like it was important in Hashem's plan that Nebuchadnezzar, who is, would publicly proclaim, make a law to the whole, to everybody, about the Gvuras Hashem, as opposed and the godless of Chanan Mishael Azariah and their God, and that he's differentiated from all of their gods. And again, that's the only thing he's saying is like Nes b'self Nes, is that the Nes itself is accomplishing an objective. There's a primary objective which the Nes is trying to bring about, which in this case is saving them. But then there's like another objective that, because that Nes itself could be done in a natural way. But then there's a Nes b'self Nes, means the Nes of saving them is being done in a miraculous way. The manner in an obviously, openly miraculous way. So it's like you have an objective, which again, which could be realized in a natural manner, which is a Nes, but it's like, it's a Nes that the nature is, the timing is working out at this moment to bring about that objective. But now when the objective is, that objective is being brought in a way which is not within a natural method, but was within an unnatural method, that's where it's a Nes b'sofness. So that's what Gavriel is saying. It's like the Gvuras Hashem becomes manifest because fire doesn't do that. Fire doesn't get cold on the inside, hot on the outside, right? Hot on the outside, cold on the inside, redistribute its heat in a way that you just have people walking around on the inside of the fire. But it's like the Gvuras Hashem is that he has total control over the properties of fire, such that he's able to shift the heat of the fire to the outside so that it's super duper hot on the outside and cool on the inside, that they're able to be walking around inside the fire. That's something which anyone sees, that they see the Gvuras Hashem. They see Hashem the keyboard, and it's Ardilis Gabriel, is the might of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he has total dominion over the natural law in a way that he's able to twist it to bring about his twist it, not just make it hail at the right time, but do something which is totally unexplainable through any natural method. And that is necessary to have Nebuchadnezzar to say, this is unbelievable, Hashem is different than any other God. There's no God who does that. There's no other gods make it rain at chance times. Because it's chance, whatever. You can explain these things away by chance. Sometimes they get lucky and they win. Other gods do that. No God does anything. But that, you need to have it to be done in an obviously, openly miraculous manner. Otherwise, he's not going to notice it. Yeah.
So the Nes, regular Chachamim would see just the Nes alone.
Right.
So in a certain sense, it's addressing two different levels of the population.
Yes, I think that's what I'm saying. Right. That when the Nes, if the Nes is merely trying to either to accomplish his objective, that's one thing that could definitely happen through natural methods, or to move a higher level person, that also could be done even in a, you know, through a plain, regular miracle.
But the regular chachamim would see just the regular Nes.
Yes, yes. But it takes, I mean, regular chachamim takes on, it takes a level of a person,
right,
to put two and two together and to say, you know, but that's not going to move Nebuchadnezzar and his whole kingdom. And,
right,
you know, that took something which was clear and open and manifest. But besides that, it's also, it's not just to make a show. It's also to save them. This was, is the primary objective of the Nes, is to save them. But there's a secondary objective, that the salvation should be in a manifest, open way. So it's like, that's what I'm saying, it's Misoch Nes. It's like how that salvation takes place should be manifest, that Hashem is saving his servants. It's not just Hashem is seen. It's not two separate things. It's the Nes is done. The salvation of the tzaddikim is done in a way that Ruach HaNetzach is going to say that Hashem saves his servants. Like it's not just that Hashem, not just that they're saved, and then Hashem makes some sort of fireball in the sky. What does that have anything to do with it? No, it's that Hashem is the one who's doing this thing, who's saving them. So they're saved through Hashem manipulating the fire in this, you know, amazing way. Yes.
That's what you're underlying B'soch Neis.
Yeah, B'soch Tava, or Neis. What's Neis B'soch Tava?
Is that the other way you're saying? But he could have done it in a way that it looks like.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. Right. Nice, right. Nice, Tava. Right. Tava, B'soch Neis. Yeah. There's two facets. There's the objective. I guess there's the objective and there's the method. There's the objective being realized and then the method that objective is realized through. So you could realize an objective through a natural method. The objective is miraculous, but the method, like it rains. It rains in Eretz Yisrael on the right time. So it's, the objective is miraculous, but the method is natural. Right? But then the fire getting redistributed, the objective is miraculous because you're saving Hanan Shal Zariah, and the manner in which it's happening is miraculous. Right. So just go because, yeah. Yeah, good question. Yeah, I think the question does it have the same problem of the around the Sefer Chinuch problem? So I think it does, but there's a balance, you know. Like for example, Bethina, Sefer Chinuch itself, he has three exceptions. Okay, he says by the fire on the Mizbeach. So I think that's also the fire on the Mizbeach is like Hashem is assisting us that our kavanos are always, you know, consumed. And that's like Ritzoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accepting our kavanos. And there's an assistance that happens. But it's not like a fire, we see a fire coming down. That would not be good for us. But there were three times where that happened. So by the inauguration of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, that was necessary for us to see that Hashem was Maratzah us in the ego. And that was like the initial inauguration of the Mikdash. And Vayaron of Eibulapanayim, that was necessary to initiate, to get us back to have the Kiruv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Simcha of the Kiruv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after we were distanced from him through the ego. So it seems like there it was necessary to have that. Now, might it have a negative? I would think it could, but it was necessary. And also, as Moshe shared about Shimshon, that was one of the other examples. That's another example. And the Psukim there say that it was important for Manoah to know that it was from Hashem. But that was like he was wondering, is it a Malach? Is it from Hashem? And it had to be clear to him because they had to raise Shimshon in that proper manner. And if they didn't know that it was Hashem, that wasn't going to happen. So that was over there. And then the third example is by Yiftach. I think I have the second there. By Yiftach also, like Yiddon. Sorry, it says, well, he. So they wanted him to be what? No, it was like a fire also came down. So it says, so it was Gidon was saying that give me a sign that you want me to be the leader, to be in charge. So I mean, basically it was in charging Gidon with being the leader, and he needed to know, in order to do that, he needed to know that it was from Hashem. So there was like, again, it was part of what was necessary at the time was that it was clear to him, and it's a Manoah also, that there was Hashem being involved. So it had to break the rules. But your question, does it have the negative? I would think it does. It does, but I don't know. That's my initial answer. I don't know. It would be nice if someone showed why it doesn't. But I don't think it does, but there's competing factors, you know? Yeah. Right. Right. Yes, that's true. Right, but maybe like, you know, Manoah, his son is getting, you know, Yeah, I guess you have to see case by case. But it's not a hard and fast rule that he can never do it in that way, just that in general, Hashem doesn't want to do that. But in certain instances, it might be necessary. But I guess you have to analyze the case by case. Yeah.
He's doing it because there's two people at the time
each
other. Right. So people can
enter,
they're not
going to
say, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
how right. Comes through him.
Right. Yes.
And they are on a high enough level that they don't take it emotionally.
Yeah. Sure. But maybe the rest of Kali Yisrael, I don't know.
But somebody could see it and say,
yeah.
And identify with an angel and desire to get along and do this through.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like there's Ramban, by the way. The Ramban, he says, this is by the Shoach Melchama, by the war. So it says, Ufaktu Sarit Saba Kos Barosh Am. This is in Baram Chaf Tas. The Torah commands you to work with the natural law. That's why we have generals in our war. But it's nisim in mireya behest, and he does miracles in private with his those who fear him. In chifetz afan of l'shanos tivos olam, he doesn't want to change the laws. Zulasi kasha ein sham derech batzala acheres, unless there's no other way, then he will. Olo dia shemo litzarav leitem. Or to show his name to his oppressors, to the enemies, at times. So that's like another exception is when he's dealing with oppressors, he wants to show them his name, so then he would, sometimes he'll do something publicly. Right? So it's like, he doesn't generally do it unless it's necessary in the circumstance. There's no natural way to do it. Or it's in order to reach, to show his name to, like, let's say, Nebuchadnezzar, or it's a power of the Mitzvah. So there's our situations where they're not gonna appreciate a naturalness. And if you want to have them recognize Hashem, then it has to be done in a way which is matte, clear, and manifest. Yeah. Okay, so let's take some of the other cases. Okay? Let's go back over some of the cases here. So yes, yeah, so just before you get to that, actually. So what about Avram? Right, so by Avram Avinu, so Gabriel wanted to do the same kind of a thing by Avram Avinu, right? To show, I guess, the same thing, to save him. But it's interesting. Actually, he had this idea to cool it down, which was Sidney Yorkham's idea, right? I think that was his original idea. Cool it down, and I'll save this to the tzaddi. Right? But Hashem says, no. I'm a yachid in the world, and he's a yachid in the world. It's better for a yachid to save a yachid. Right? How did he save him? Right. So I want to say, I'm not sure, but that he did not do it like what happened by Chaim Shazai. It wasn't like there was the fire cooled down. Yeah, I guess there was a cooling down, right? Cooling down. I guess that was what he did. Like Chaim Shmuel said, he cooled down the inside of the fire, but rather, it's this. Avram just didn't get burned by the fire. So the fire did not. Hashem didn't make the fire cold. The fire was hot, and Hashem just saved him. Like there was no. If there was some natural thing, then it would like take away. Like the part of the demonstration was that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is like devoted to Avram, so to speak. And like Avram devoted everything, and he was totally with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu with Avram, and there was no natural method there's no, at least apparently. It was, so to speak, like by the Malach, by Aniv Lo Malach, by Max Bacolos. It's like Hashem Ba'atzma. That's what it's depicting, at least according to this passage. It's like he just went into the fire, and it was a hot fire, and he just didn't get burned up. Now, I don't know, Hashem just made it. Hashem was in charge, and he just didn't do it. But there was no observable, the fire wasn't so hot. But it was like there was no way that anyone could explain it other than Hashem saved Avram. Avram is fully devoted to Hashem, and a person who is a yachid, Olamo, who dedicates himself, gives up everyone in the whole world to say, I'm going to stand with Hashem, then Hashem is going to stand with him. And there's no, like in a certain sense, it would minimize the reflection of Hashem's protection of Avram if it were through some naturally appearing thing. It would be like the laws of nature are somehow on Avram's side. No, it's like there was there's nothing else. It was just Hashem. The impression that it was going for, according to this, was that it was for Hashem is saving Avram. Period. Not the Hashem. Not that Hashem has control over the laws of nature. That was for a different time. And that's what he said to Gabriel. That's a good idea. But that's not the idea for now. For now, the idea is that I'm Yachid Ba'olamo, he's Yachid Ba'olamo, and I'm going to save. There is a great idea, and there will come a time when that happens, and it did happen by Chanan Mishael Azariah, and that was the time, and that was expressed through that, and the Nebuchadnezzar, and that whole thing. And then when he did that, he said, I don't know the whole thing there, but basically that was like Hashem's Avtacha, that Gabriel would be involved in that, and the world would see that idea of the total Goras Hashem. But that just wasn't that wasn't the idea that he wanted to express at that moment. Yeah.
I think those are interesting. It's a part of the Midah we do. There are multiple things, I know there's other cases too, where God's in the tumult reacting to what the situation had been with. There's also one with they were intervening, like they did something, they were not supposed to do something.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But synthesis is definitely very much for a learning thing, like what's happening on our end.
Yes.
God is going to particularly target that.
Yes. Yes, good point. We'll get to that in a second, but yes. Yep.
So what would the be? I mean, like, if he just didn't get burned versus it being cooled down, what?
I'm saying is the message by Avram is that Hashem protects Avram directly. Hashem is the one who protects Avram. The message by the Nechon Azariah is the Gvuraso Shalakosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's dominion and control over the natural law. And he's making fire do things that fire is not supposed to do. I don't know. Maybe making people come to, I don't know. Maybe, I'm not sure.
I think it's manipulating
breath. Can you say the point is to manifest Yichud?
What's that?
Meaning God, Yichud Hashem. Hashem is above. He transcends all of it. That's the manifestation here. Or else, if there's different forces at play, then fine, maybe he controls them, but it still suggests something about the forces, and that's a different message. But the message of him being beyond it and not limited by it in any way, that was a notion of Yichud Hashem.
That's right. He was showing Yichud Hashem that there's no other force in the world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem showed that idea as true. There's no other force. So ultimately, everything is Hashem. And it kind of helped Avram advancing his message of Yichud Hashem. But I think he developed the idea further. It's something like that. But that's like Avram. Something like that is good. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the Elisha. Elisha stories, right? So then the two of the stories are Elisha, and it could be it's valuable and relative to what Joey said, is that again, I'm not holding that much in the Elisha story, but Elisha asked that he would have like Pishnayim Baruchacha, that he would like double the Nevuah or double the Nisim. It's not clear exactly what he wanted. But it seems like, again, Elisha was coming on the heels of Eliyahu, and Eliyahu was like great Navi. And there was like, maybe there was like some sort of a, like you see, for example, I'm jumping a little bit, but the Alei Kerach, Alei Kerach. So the Rashi or Mitzvah David says that Eliyahu was like had a lot of hair, and Elisha was bald, and they were like they were just saying, "Get out of here, baldy!" Like they were contrasting him with Eliyahu. Like he was the new man in town, the new Navi in town, and he was the student, and it seemed like it was important for Klal Yisrael to accept him as the new Navi. Again, I don't understand why. I don't know enough about the time and whatever, but there was saying, this is like the very beginning. This is the very beginning. It's like when he first came on, the first thing that happened was this salt thing, and then the second thing happened right on the heels of that was the bears. It's like at the very beginning of his getting set up. So I think maybe it was important for Klal Yisrael to know that Elisha was the Navi Hashem. And he was sent directly by Hashem, and he was the proper heir to Eliyahu's continuity. He was the next Navi in town. So the first Nais was not just, again, the water was bitter, But he could have healed the water through some sort of natural method. I don't know. Maybe he found sugar and whatever, and some chemical, which does it. But that wouldn't have been an ace of self-nice. Then the goal would have been accomplished, that the water would have been healed. But it wouldn't have been clearly that Hashem is healing the water via Elisha. Just would have been, okay, some natural process. But that wasn't the Rotzon of Hashem at that case, and that's where Elisha said it. He says, let me get the pasuk. He said, So this is what Hashem said, I have healed this water. So it seems like it was necessary at the time for the people to know that Hashem healed the water. Not that Elisha healed the water, not that there was some scientific way that he figured out a good, trick. And the Neis B'Soch Neis, that's what the Rashi or the Medrash is saying, that through it and healing it through a miraculous method, not just that he happened to find the right chemical, but he happened to find the wrong chemical. He found salt, and he put salt into salt, and it made it unsalty. So that was clearly, it was Hashem healing the water. So the objective was to heal the water, but it was done through a miraculous method, and thereby the people would appreciate that not just that the water is healed, and not just that Elisha did it, but that it was Hashem via Elisha healing the water. Right. You know, occasionally be Israel as an Haftarah Mitzorah. Yeah. Yes. Good. And then right afterwards, there were, despite, even though that was the stated objective, or according to the Nesus of Nesus objective, sure enough, there were people who didn't like it. People complained. These 42 kids, and they were came out, and they were going to rebel. And they were saying, Aleikir, get out of here. Right? And they got to Rashi because it affected their livelihood, whatever. So then, sure enough, he cursed them, Hashem, Hashem, and the bears came out of the forest and he ate, So, honestly, maybe the machlokas of Neis, Pesach, Neis, or Neis, right, over there, was what was necessary there? Was it necessary to just knock out these 42 people? Because these are just people, they were the water guys, and they were going to rebel, They were basically getting in the way. It was really the water was enough. The water miracle was enough to show that Elisha was the Navi Hashem and Hashem is there and all that. But these guys had a particular skin in the game that they had a problem. So then you just have an ace, you knock them off. Right? You just have them die. The bears come out of the forest. There's a forest. The bears come out and they're dead. And those guys are gone and then it's all, then everything's good. Or do you say that these 42 guy kids, whatever, were reflective of a problem or they caused a problem? And it wasn't going to be enough to just knock them off. They were a movement. And if they happen to die in a manner which appears natural, because bears happen to get them, well, then they're going to be followers. They're going to be copycats. And Elisha's not going to be able to get off the ground. And it had to be clear that this was the Neis B'Soch Neis was saying it had to be that they were killed through a way which was clearly miraculous. Like, again, I don't know if it literally means that a whole forest got sprung up at that, but something like that, that there was a forest miraculously appeared and then bears came out of the forest. That it was clear that not just that they died, but that they died through Dvar Hashem, or through Hashem's intervening. So that was necessary according to that Shita in order to stop their movement. There was a rebellion which was happening here. And if you just knock them out, it wouldn't have been enough. Yeah, like Korach, exactly. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's what Moshe saw by Korach. It wasn't enough just to kill Korach. Korach just had a heart attack. It wouldn't have done it. He's got a time, and you got to not knock him out in a way which is clearly 100% not normal. And then that's necessary in order to, yeah.
But that thing.
Yeah, yes. See, that's what I'd say. That's what the point that I was mentioning before. I know Korach is a classic example. This is what I say, is that Korach was an example. But it's open that I'm saying, the way I'm interpreting it, place, it's open that. That's what Moshe is saying. If they die through a normal method, then it's not going to be, then Hashem didn't send me. That's not going to prove anything. That's a regular nace, accomplishes objective beginning Korach, but that's not enough. But in Bria Yevrasham and parts also in Bria, that's then will be clear. You know, it's a Nashmaylas Hashem. That was necessary to put it. But that's you don't need Chazal to say that to Nivsukim. That's like Opnim Shah of Sukim. I was just saying, it's not enough just to kill him, but it's going to kill him through the earth opening up its mouth, which is never seen before. So the Chazal don't have to tell it to you. I'm saying Chazal are, in the story of Elisha, you wouldn't necessarily know that. It looks like it's just the regular nais. The bears came out of the forest. Chazal are saying, no, nais b'self nais. They're highlighting the nais b'self nais in cases where it wouldn't necessarily be clear. They're showing you that dimension. These are instances where you wouldn't necessarily pick up on the fact that it was necessary, and they're showing you that it was.
Okay. Right, Peter. In also with the water guys, the issue is that to them it seems like a ra, right? Like it's like, oh, this is the Rav Tuvcha. They think they're suffering, and it's really they're not because they're seeing Gilei Shechina. I mean, that's the point of the idea. And you have that with Mitzrayim too by the Yamsuf. Right, that he did a miracle that they drowned so they could see and do tshuva and see the Gvuras Hashem right. In their final moment.
Right, that's true. Yes, yeah, good point. Yeah, okay. So now to the crossbreeding story, right? Crossbreeding story. So that's so they basically were involved in crossbreeding, right? Kalayim, Rabbi Kalayim. And it was necessary there to, that's like Moshe was saying, there's like a midah keneged midah there to punish those people. But it seems like maybe it's saying is that, again, I'm suggesting that they were an evil town, and evil towns have the capacity to impact other people as well. So let me roll, step back a second. So basically, saying it was me that killing me, that Hashem was killing them, right? Hashem was sending them. They're involved in bringing about new species. I'll show them a new species. I was like, in a certain sense, they are not happy with the way the Bria is. So Hashem is showing them that, oh, you want to bring about new species? There's a sense. There's a chokmah to these species. You're a new species. I'll show you a miraculous species that comes and kills you all. And it kind of is trying to show there's consequences to manipulating the Bria, and that's an onesh to them. So the nais b'self nais thing is the primary objective here is to kill them, to just destroy the city. But that could have happened through some sort of a natural method. I don't know, a landslide or who knows what. Some sort of a method that would naturally kill them. But the way that they were killed was through a miraculous, something which is clearly miraculous that everyone knows, or everyone who's in this world knows that snakes and lizards don't have kids, right? So what ended up killing them was a miraculous creature. Again, it could have just been a normal creature that came and killed them. I don't know, a bear comes out of the forest. It's just there or whatever. But it's like it was the way they were killed was Hashem made a miraculous creature, which then came and a creature which should never have existed and could only exist if there was a miracle. And that creature came and just killed them. So again, the primary objective is just to wipe out the city. But it's done in a manner which is clear that it's the Yad Hashem. Now again, I don't know exactly the particulars of the thing, but it could be is that it was necessary to set an example. See, if it was just to kill them, it could be that's what Gemara is saying. Why are you having an ace for self-nice? Like, why is Hashem... It's not generally the Derech Hashem to miraculously kill a person. Like, you know, let the person is a Rasha, let them die. You know, that whole thing is a big discussion, but Rebbe said, like, and davar yar yarvin ashma. Like, a person is Ra and he's evil, and let him fall to his own bad ways. Hashem to openly, manifestly step in and change the laws of nature for a Rasha, what for? So let him die. He's an evil person. He'll die. He'll naturally stumble on his own ways. Who needs to do that? Just let him die. Just to have like an open, it could be like Gemara's bothered by like an open, manifest, clear demonstration is like not generally the place. If you want to show Kiddush Hashem, I get it, but to show, just to wipe these guys out, let them, there's other ways. But it ends up saying, G'day, how does Rashi say? So actually, I don't know if he helped that much, but he said, Liparam and Harashayim, something like that, right? Yeah, Kedei Liparam and Harashayim. So I don't know, I'm suggesting, I don't know the particulars, but I'm suggesting similar, I guess, to the Elisha, that they were an example of rishis, and it was necessary for the world or for the cities around them for people to see that Hashem punished people like this, that you don't get away with this. It had to be clear, demonstrable, you know, manifest that Rishayim end up getting punished. And if you just would have made them disappear through some sort of natural method, then it could be other cities would have got that, would have copied in their well. But the fact that there was a clear, manifest demonstration that Hashem was intervening in order to destroy this city in a way which would show that this is a bad, evil path, that stopped others from trying to follow in their path. Okay. Now, back to the snake and the stick, right? The snake and the stick. So that was in the very beginning, right? When he went and he showed them that, so again, the first miracle there was, as I was saying before, is that essentially he's trying to show Moshe and Aaron are trying to one-up the Mitzrim, right? Trying to one-up the Mitzrim, so the Mitzrim are, or Mitzrim are trying to one-up that. Ultimately, I mean, Aaron's doing this stack. They're doing a standard trick of the Mitzrim do. So he's making the stick turn into a snake. And then they do the same thing. So essentially, you're trying to beat them out, right? So as ultimately, the primary thing is to knock out the Mitzrim and to establish Aaron as the one who's really in control and not the Egyptians. And in theory, that would have accomplished through the fact that Aaron's snake eats their snakes. And I'm saying, like, a chacham at that situation would say, one second, why is this happening? These are the Egyptians. They're the greatest magicians out there. Right, the highest paid magicians in the world are on their Pharaoh's thing. And now just Aaron comes along and he beats them. His snake eats their snake. So that in theory would have been enough for a chacham to discern and to recognize. But according to this chazal, it was nes v'sich nes that it was done in a more miraculous way. That would have been way too subtle to get. But it was done in a way which was more miraculous than that. Or, I don't know, I guess, according to this, we're totally miraculous. Mamish a stick eating a snake. So again, I don't know if it literally means that it did that, or it means it was clearly miraculous in a way that it couldn't have been chalked up to he happened to have a strong snake, you know? Now, I guess it's part of a bigger discussion about in the Makos, but it didn't work, right? It didn't work, ultimately. They didn't recognize that it was. But, you know, they had Bechira. So you could say, maybe other people did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's surprising to me. Like, I wouldn't have thought you'd have this so early on. You know? You think, that's why I always thought. It's like, start off with some small things that they could replicate, and you slowly work towards teaching them, you know? But seems like this is saying, it's like it was a very big miracle early on. Right. Oh, I see. It says, Right. It could be, right. I was saying, it could be like it had to have in it something that would have convinced them. But like just normal with snake, just because his snake would eat their snake, well, what would that do? That wouldn't have done anything. Yeah, he's just a better magician. But he wasn't trying to show that he's a better magician. He's trying to show there's something qualitatively different going on. And if it's just going to be that he's got the stronger snake, that wouldn't have done. Now, even this didn't work, but yeah, you were saying, Kaveh Levam, that he chose, he was Bochar Barah. That was the thing. He chose to harden his heart all the beginning. But at least it had within it, from the very beginning, enough for them to be able to say, this is something different. Right, and just to have a snake eating a snake, that doesn't do it. That's not sufficient. Yeah. Okay, and lastly is back to the Barad we started, right? So by Barad, right before Barad, it says, Kiba Pama Zos Anishaleh has Koma Gefo Sayalibba. Right? that'll be known. There's no one like me in the whole world, right? And it's called Magefo Selitna. So this is this funny Rashi, which is the Gersa problem, but it says, Lamanu Shemakas, that's the Membez, or Makas Bakoros, Bikuros, Batsoras. There's some Gersas, but it seems clear that it's supposed to be referencing Barad, right? But it somehow says in the Olegirsos, Bakoros, but whatever. But ultimately, the way they have an author is Batsoras, Shkula Kenegan Kalamakas. Basically, the Rashi is saying, if you interpret it in that way, it's trying to show from this thing that's called Magefosa. This time, it's like this is more powerful than all the other markets out there. And like, for example, Rav Avraham Rambam says, Kimaka zuba gedula she'in zulasa yecholas ba'in. So this maka had in it gedula more than another other makas had. V'yishe nesu v'slabu yachad shneha yisodos ha'mitznagin v'esh v'amayin. The Ace and Mishlakathas, we're going there. So it's like you had two opposite Yisodos, the Ace and the Mayim, and they worked together. You know, that you had Ace and Mayim together. So it wasn't just, again, the primary Maka was that you're destroying all their produce or whatever through the fire, or whatever the destruction which the hail is going to bring about. And you don't need that to be, it's like there was the greatest hailstorm from all time, from time that, whatever, Mitzrayim was a nation. But the manner in which it happened was showing that Hashem has total control over the laws of nature. Because he's taking two opposites, and that's what Rashi said, is that taking Asha and water, and they're making Shalom in Ahem in order to fulfill the will of the Creator. Which basically shows totally that the laws of nature themselves, which you just think are laws, they're just the basic laws. There's nothing breaking the laws. Other Makos argue they don't break the laws, just the timing is abnormal. And it's the hifla, fine, but it's still within explainable in the laws. The timing is off. But having opposites, fire and water coexisting, it's saying that's totally different. And that is like showing in a way which is different than the other makos. It's not clear why the seventh makos, you know, you're having one like that. But it's saying is like that maka has in it, this the Chazala pointing out, is like it wasn't just destructive, like all the other makos, but the very method itself was a miraculous entity. Not just that, the timing and the fact that it hit the midstream and not the Jews, but the phenomenon itself didn't make sense in the natural. And that's what they're pointing out, and it's so nice. Which is, again, in line with, you know, these other things. Yeah. So I guess just putting it together. Here. So I guess I'm saying that generally Hashem does miracles through the natural law. And that is most beneficial for Chachamim to acknowledge, to recognize Hashem's Yad. And it's most in line with maintaining his laws. But in, so like the Ramban said, certain instances, and these are always, I think they're always against enemies. Like they all seem to be with their low-level people who are involved. Is that true, all the stories? You got all the naysayers and Elisha, right? Or the, I guess, the lower level people. And you have the crossbreeders, and you have the Makos by the Barad and the Khatumim, Nebuchadnezzar, right? Is that all them? That basically, they're all people who are like, you're trying to get lower level people to recognize Hashem. And Hashem. So, what? Sold by Elisha. See, that's not clear, but it seems like the people at that time, that's why I think I have to get more into the story there, by the, but it seems like the people who are not, at least it's like that guy, but they were, the people
pretty
were
frozen.
Pretty why they needed all these open miracles by Elisha and Elio. The people were at a low level and they needed them. You know? So, like I was saying, it's like when you're trying to, although the method, the preferred method is to utilize the method. Someone's not muted here, hold on a second. Yeah, so his preferred method is to utilize more natural methods, but in certain instances where part of the very objective of the Nes is not only the particular, but also that particular comes from Hashem, then there's like this dual layer Nes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi Feder, yeah. Are you by any chance aware of anyone ascribing Nes Pesach Nes to the Nes Hanukkah where you have, you know, the Melchama, which could be construed as natural winning, but combined with the Nes of the Menorah, where it brings it to a very unnatural level of recognition. Yeah. I'm not sure if you're aware of anyone that says that, but it would fit nicely into what you're saying.
Yeah, it would fit nicely. But the other thing is there, it's like they are two different things. See, in these cases, I think it's always where the one thing is done in a not unnatural method. But there, it's like the war is one thing, and then the menorah is done, you know. But I mean, I guess you could say the menorah itself, holding over. I don't know, yeah. Well, I mean, there are a lot of cases. I mean, this is the one weakness of this whole thing. It's like there's I can't answer that question. If the list, if someone would say these six or whatever are the only nations of places, then this is serious. And I'm not saying that these are the only cases. I'm saying it's a type of a model. Azal are pointing it out in certain instances where they're highlighting that's part of what's going on in this case. It's not just to accomplish whatever objective it is, but to show that it's the Darash, that it's the Arash. But there's other instances which, and again, I think it's good that other, like Mefarshim, I saw, like Ibn Ezra says it by Max Pachoros, where I don't think any Chazal says that, but Ibn Ezra says it. I think there's another one, Radak. And there's other places. And again, I don't think it's like, you're like, it seems from the Mefarshim, you're allowed to use it, pull out nice other cases where Chazal didn't say it. It's not like this is exhaustive list. It's a certain derech in Hashem doing Nisan, and, you know, which exists in other times as well. But again, Chazal are pointing it out in cases where you wouldn't have necessarily noticed. And I think in all these cases, or most of them, you wouldn't have necessarily noticed that. And they're bringing it out. But there's other cases also. So because it's part of the Derech and Ma'aseh Hashem. It's reasonable that you can have in other cases. But yeah, I agree with you about that. Hanukkah is another good example. Yeah. All right.